Well, take your Bibles, everybody, and turn to Ephesians chapter 2. The title of my teaching, The Middle Wall of Partition. He was born into a Jewish family of royal lineage in humble circumstances. He lived his life within a 50-mile radius of Jerusalem, scarcely ever setting his foot outside the narrow limits of the Bible lands. Sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, his teaching, with few exceptions, was confined to the Jewish people. These limits and confines stood in sharp contrast to the Old Testament prophesied kingdom of God and its hopes. Accompanied by 12 men, he began a movement. This movement continued as the 12 carried on after his ascension into heaven. It became their job to show forth the greatness of his accomplishment. Who is this man? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The middle wall of partition. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 14, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition." What did he accomplish? He broke down the middle wall of partition between God and man. His accomplishments ushered in God's grace and made peace. Remember Jesus Christ's resurrection accomplishments. We'll learn more about that. The door will open to believe the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said, because they remembered when Jesus reminded them in the Gospels. They remembered what he said, that he would die and be raised again the third day. This brings greater liberty, greater freedom to access and stand in his accomplishments. And today we remember the middle wall partition. It was a physical wall, the court of the Gentiles, termed that way by Herod and those people around that time. It was a huge area. Once Herod had built walls around the temple area, it could house approximately 75,000 people. The court of the Gentiles was the largest of the temple courts and surrounded by the inner courts where Jewish men and women could worship. It was separated from the inner courts by a low wall, known as a soreg, Hebrew word, which bore inscriptions warning Gentiles not to proceed further on pain of death. And Jerry taught about this, I believe this past year, with that inscription. Josephus says that there was in the court of the temple a wall or balustrade. It was about breast high, having pillars at regular distances with inscriptions on them in Greek and Latin, stating that strangers were forbidden to approach any nearer to the altar. It was also a spiritual divide. The divide between God and all mankind was abolished by the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. Because we did ask that question, what did he accomplish? The inscription, which they found fragments of a pillar with the two tablets written in Greek and Latin. The inscription, "No alien may enter within the balustrade around the sanctuary and the enclosure. Whoever is caught on himself shall he put blame for the death which will ensue." In other words, you did it to yourself. Don't touch it. Don't go near it. You can look over there and see what's in there, but you can't go there. You're separated from it. We will kill you if you go in there. John chapter 1. That was a pretty big wall, wasn't it? Even if it was only chest high. John chapter 1. Grace and truth. Verse 17. In verse 17 of John chapter 1, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Grace and truth did come by Jesus Christ. I'm going to allude to a couple things from the Grace of Giving book that we wrote back in, I think, 2006. And this verse was in there. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ's accomplishments, grace and truth brought about the ending of the Mosaic law and its middle wall partition. First spiritually, and then later physically. Then the day of Pentecost happened. The apostles spoke in tongues, and many Judean people converted from the Jewish religion to Christianity. So I'm giving you a little expose here. I'm moving forward a little bit more quickly. Acts chapter 14. We talked about the law. We've talked about the middle wall partition. And we've talked about grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We've moved on to the day of Pentecost, where the apostles spoke in tongues. And now people are getting converted to Christianity. And the door of faith opened. Acts chapter 14. I'd like to read verse 27. Because we're going to talk about this movement into Christianity. Acts chapter 14, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. In the book of Acts, we see the separation between the Judean class and the Gentile nations beginning to lower. We see it with Philip. You remember the eunuch from Ethiopia? He was not a Judean. Philip held forth the word to him. It happened with Peter and Cornelius. Then with Paul's work of holding forth the resurrection message to all 12 tribes of Israel. Then God opened the door of faith unto the Gentile nation. We just read about that in Acts chapter 14. Paul's work included letting the people know that the partition between God and man had been removed. Paul's work kept increasing with the door of faith opening unto the Gentile nation. The same message of grace, salvation, deliverance, sonship, and eternal life to the Gentile nations earnestly began to be held forth to the Gentile nations. 1 Peter chapter 2. Part of the message. There's so much to the message, but we're not going to read all seven church epistles. But we will look in 1 Peter chapter 2, and I'd like to read verses 9 and 10. Because what did Paul say to the Gentile nations? Let's caption it here. Verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." The Christian church had taken the place of the Jewish Old Testament religion. Through God's grace, sonship was received, with each inheriting all of its titles, rights, and privileges. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, or back in Jerusalem, the temple, its courts, its walls still existed. The daily Old Testament rituals, sacrifices, and commandments still continued to be practiced. Over 250,000 lambs annually continued to be sacrificed. Guilt and sin consciousness was highly visible, and it ran rampant. As the door of faith opened, the almost chess game-like countermove by the devil started. The ruling arms of the Pharisaical and the Sadducean sects began to stretch out toward this new generation of believers. Galatians chapter 2, we'll call them the liberty spies, because God's word is moving. And part of that message, well, who wouldn't want to hear about that, that you're the people of God. Wow. Liberty spies, Galatians chapter 2 and in verse 4. "And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, for one reason, that they might bring us into bondage," or back into bondage, because that's what the law was. The fight to shut down this new Christianity, the freedom in Christ, it went into full swing. The Pharisaical and Sadducean mindset was that this new way must be stopped at all costs. No matter what the Old Testament prophets prophesied, this new way of God's gift of Holy Spirit and godliness cannot allow the Gentile nations a place in the kingdom of God. We just won't have it. No matter what this New Testament revelation to Paul stated, we must stop this way of thinking of being saved by grace, not by works. Their goal, that they might bring us into bondage. Acts chapter 15. In Acts chapter 15, I'd like to read verse 1. And certain men, which came down from Judea, taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. We must keep these people under laws, rules, regulations, traditions, and bondage. A grudging compromise. Allow salvation, but demand circumcision. You cannot stop the dunamis power of God flowing and people believing. So we're going to allow that. But we're going to make sure we get the knife back out. Or 250,000 or more lambs every year is not enough. However, the Christian church had taken the place of the Jewish race and through sonship had inherited all of its titles, rights, and privileges. Christians were being added at an alarming rate, alarming to the religious factions. Lamb sales were dropping and idol purchases were on the decline. Diana of the Ephesians. We can't go to everything in the book of Acts, but I'm just captioning a few things. We need some proof about this thing. You've said that we're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a godly people. We're the people of God. Need some proof. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, I'd like to read verse 45 and 46. During all this chess game, the Pharisaical, the Sadducaical, really sad, you see, because they didn't believe in the resurrection. Their long arms were reaching out. Circumcise them. Acts chapter 10, verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Why? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Proof in the five senses realm of the indwelling presence of the gift of Holy Spirit. Proof that you are a chosen generation, that you are a son of God, that you're going to heaven and all hell can't stop you from going. Proof of being a chosen generation, royal priesthood, liberated from the trespass of Adam by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Astonishment is an understatement here. On the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit that was only supposed to be for the chosen. Ooh, there certainly was a door open, was there not? Right around the corner was a religion, still in full swing, still in process, willing to kill any Gentile who stepped across the partition line. Think about Paul and Trophimus in Acts chapter 21. You remember they had a riot, they were going to kill him? Because they supposed that Paul had taken Trophimus into that area and he had touched or went on the other side of that partition that was still there physically. They were going to kill him, but Paul got saved. And so too did Trophimus. You find him later at Miletus, if you look up his name. Galatians chapter 5, speaking in tongues is the proof. They were astonished. It is the proof in the senses realm of the indwelling of the power and presence of the gift of Holy Spirit. Thank you, God, for that proof. Well, liberty or bondage? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. It is a yoke. Don't go back to that which was before. Don't go back to the yoke of bondage. Don't go back to the stranger, the alien, the forbidden to approach near to the altar of God under pain of death. Stand fast in your liberty and access to God through sonship. No barriers, no separation, no wall between God and man. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. There's more proof. We have a book about it. It's called The Grace of Giving. And thank you, Jerry. Thank you for putting that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'd like to read verse 24 and then chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. Wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Proof. Proof of what? Proof that it's okay to show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, among a few, boasted on their behalf. These believers, they believe it. They want to give. They want to show you proof of their love. These first century Christians knew that they were born again. They spoke in tongues. They manifested power from on high, just like the apostles did on the day of Pentecost. They were astonished that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of Holy Spirit. They loved God. They loved His Son, Jesus Christ. They loved the believers. They behaved accordingly, according to the agape behavior toward each other. They believed they were a chosen generation, part of the church of God through Christ, which replaces the Jews and the Gentiles. They were mentally and emotionally desirous to show the proof of their love. Here were Christians so zealous to prove their love and show it to all. Receive us. Receive our gift. Take it. Give it. Distribute it. Help others with it. We are born again like you are. We're so thankful for having received the gift of Holy Spirit. And in the Grace of Giving book, there's a literal translation of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24. I'd like to read that and a following paragraph that was written. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 24, literal. Wherefore you indicate to the apostles, parentheses, those sent to collect your gifts, into parentheses, in front of the eyes of the Christian fellowships, the public declaration of the greater love in practice, as well as our boasting in the reasons of Achaia and elsewhere about you. To publicly declare one's love is to answer the invitation into the grace of giving. Paul made many references to boasting about the Corinthians. It's no small matter when an apostle boasts of other Christians. No, it's a pretty big matter. As people accept their responsibility to give, there will be more success stories. Great healing can take place in others' hearts when this happens. Christians are to publicly declare their love in two ways: to the apostles who collect the abundant sharing, and before the eyes of their fellow Christians. Abundant sharing is a way to publicly declare love to others. They are to give from their abundance and allow the ministers chosen by God to administer the gift properly. End of the paragraph. Well, today we remember and stand in our Lord Jesus Christ's accomplishments. Accompanied by 12 men, Jesus Christ began a movement. This movement continued as the 12 carried on after His ascension into heaven. It became their job to show forth the greatness of His accomplishments. Now it's part of our job as we live Christ-like. We are living epistles known and read of all men. We show forth the truth of Jesus Christ's resurrection accomplishment by these two things, speaking in tongues and abundant sharing. Our whole life echoes these things. It's a model of these things. The proof that we're born again. The proof that we have the indwelling of the gift of Holy Spirit. That God made His habitation inside of our bodies. And we are so thankful that all we want to do is give and show it forth. It doesn't matter what's happening pharisaically or Sadducean. It doesn't matter what long arm is trying to repress, to stop, to annihilate, to limit, to inhibit, to force into bondage. We have that freedom in Christ. We are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. We are the people of God, and we show forth that in every breath that we take as we await the gathering together. And I wanted to close with a little quote that was in this month's January Ardios, the Church of God. Among present and tarnished moralities, let us embrace the knowledge with appropriate awareness of the Church of God. Let us make mention of it in daily deeds and words, undersigning our prayers with the name of Jesus Christ, fully believing in the power of Christ's faith and accomplishments. Do not bow to humanity's whims, their Gentile systems of doubt, profit, leisure, fear, and demise. Stand tall and strong in God's comfort, no matter how intense your sufferings. They do not matter when compared to the grace, mercy, and hope that will soon be revealed in us. What a great statement. What a great statement in this month's Ardios. The middle wall has been broken down. It's up to us to live accordingly. We have access to our Heavenly Father. And may we show forth to the nations of the world the truth of who we are. And thank you, God, for this ministry of reconciliation. Amen.